My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. And this is going to be a weird one.
As opposed to all our kind others.
The other ones, button down, straight down the middle, just meat and potatoes, corn cob podcasting that the whole family can enjoy.
No tangents.
strict
it's business. Like no Russian, no tangents.
The level, strictly business. I don't know about y'all. I have not done a bunch of gaming outside of Duckstream.
No, me neither.
And also, this being the last week of recording of the year, I'm interested in this kind of being a shorter affair. Yeah.
You did do a lot of gaming within Duckstream.
I did. Yes. So what I figured we would do is the grind could be us talking about Duckstream and the stuff we played. Mm-hmm. And then for multiplayer and the others, we've got the results of the title of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that I think is going to be the way we're going to ring out 2022.
A fully self-indulgent episode.
Yes. But, I think we've played some interesting stuff.
Yeah.
At least, a lot of the multiplayer games that we played this time, mm-hmm. I've not played them before, know? So, I at least have that. I'm realizing now, as I say that all of you have played them and have had things to say about them in the past.
There was one that was new for all of us, I think.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get into that with the rest of it in due course, but I want to ask what are folks up to besides having done Duckstream? Ben, how about you?
Not a whole lot. I'm actually flying back home tomorrow, so I've just been doing all the stuff that I need to do before I leave. But I still have more things to do. So,
Do you get a plant sitter?
I don't have a plant sitter, but I do need to water my plants tonight. That is on the to-do list. But
cool.
I think I'll be gone for 10 days, so that should be fine.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you don't get caught up. Apparently the weather's like getting real shitty.
Yeah, it snowed in Seattle today, which looks beautiful. Like I can literally see snow on the trees outside my window right now, but it should not be snowing tomorrow, so I should be clear to get TF out of here. So
fingers crossed.
I hate snow so much.
I'm over it. Yeah. I don't know. I like it for like a couple of times when there's a big snow. When you don't have snow days anymore, it's kind of hard to get excited about it.
I don't mind snow. I do mind flight cancellations. So
yes, I could understand. I could understand that. My disdain for snow definitely escalated once I became responsible for shoveling driveways, which mm-hmm. I've been at a couple of my apartments just by default. And then now at my house. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. Nice. David, how about you? What's going on?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I'm off work. So I'm going to be a super exciting person and do lots of cleaning.
No, that tracks. That tracks. I could stand to do some cleaning. My house is a wreck after having been in my cocoon preparing for Duckstream and recovering from Duckstream.
Yeah. Yeah. My goal is cleaning and then enough sewing that I have many warm things to wear this winter.
I was going to say, if this weekend is your deadline, you better get going.
Yeah.
When's your next event where you would be doing tailoring stuff for?
Honestly, pretty far out. Mm-hmm. I think the next Comic-Con type thing is in April.
Mm-hmm.
There'll probably be something. There's local DJ things every week. Every week, I'm sorry, once a month. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, dressing up for that will probably be a thing, because when I did that this past weekend, yeah, it turns out a crop top, sleeveless crop top is kind of cold.
I won't imagine. I imagine Alabama only goes so far.
Yeah. So, yeah, I need to figure out cute but warm is the go-to aesthetic I'm going for.
Nice. Cozy.
I thought you were committed.
I hear cute but warm, and I think cozy.
Yeah, you know, gotta get that goblin core.
Right. Although on this week's Abject Suffering, we determined that if 2022 was the year of the fucked up little guy / year of the goblin, do you want to know what 2023 is going to be?
What's that?
The year of the inexplicably ripped wizard.
Yes.
Hey, the Dungeons and Dragons movie is coming out. Don't jinx us.
I'm just saying. If you want predictions, like a wizard who is just fucking jacked. I'm talking like completely vascular. He may or may not be a frog as well. This episode isn't coming out for a while. It was
just physically beats people to death with his wand.
I mean, yeah. It's just, he surprises you because you don't expect somebody that buff to be a wizard. You don't expect a wizard to be that buff.
So. At what point does it stop being a wand and does it start being a very tiny mace?
You know?
I feel like, do you want to have that conversation with the wizard?
You know what?
The answer is whenever the wizard says so.
I've become a parody of myself for saying this too much, but the actual answer is none of my business.
I do like all the D&D memes that are like, oh, you know, when the barbarian beats an enemy to death with a book, it's that meme. Look at me in the eyes. I'm the wizard now.
Like, I'm going to send you a link here to one of the buff wizards that was our inspiration. Just gonna put this in here. See the cover for the NES version of Solstice.
Oh my god.
See, it catches you off guard, doesn't it?
I'm having impure thoughts.
His beard looks sentient.
Uh-huh. Well, it is reaching for the sky like he is. Yeah.
No, it's he's going Super Saiyan.
His beard is for sure, yeah.
This is only tangentially related, but when I think of frogs, though, you mentioned, I'm just imagining Throg.
Oh, the Thor frog? Yeah.
Yeah.
New tangents.
That's right. This buff wizard nonsense is for the other show that is all nonsense. Oh, man. Dennis, how about you? What's happening?
I'm doing great. We've kind of started the Christmas chain of dinners with family, so I am never not stuffed. Nice. But guys, tonight I think I witnessed the birth of a stand-up comedian.
Ooh.
So Luke comes to me, he's like, I got a joke. And I'm like, okay. And like he makes up jokes all the time. And they're pretty clever, but it's usually stuff like, you know, what do clouds wear beneath their pants? Thunderwear. And you know, where what room can't zombies be in? The living room.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that.
That's very good.
Yeah, very, very good stuff. But like he went Seinfeld on me.
How so?
So I'll try to recreate it, but I'm like, okay, yeah, tell me. And he kind of
what's the deal?
Yeah, pauses for a second and looks at me and like, I shit you not. He goes, So I've heard it's illegal now for donkeys to sleep in bathtubs. But what I want to know is, who are the cops gonna arrest? The donkey or the bathtub?
That is really good.
I lost it. Like, oh. I could not stop laughing. He was so proud of himself. He's like, that's funny, right? I was like, I don't know why, but it is.
I mean, he's working on his technique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I literally could not stop laughing.
Oh, that rules. No. I mean, like it's the timing is everything, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, well, and now I'm trying to like assemble it into a coherent bit in my mind. I'm like, okay, why would it be illegal for a donkey to sleep in a bathtub?
Oh, I mean, it's a undue stress on the plumbing system.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Because asses are supposed to be on the toilet.
So we established that humor is passed through the Y gene, then, it sounds like.
Yeah. It was some dad joke level jokes. With a dash of Seinfeld.
What's your strategy out of getting out of taking home too many leftovers, Dennis?
Oh God, I wish I knew. They are forced upon us. Like, yeah. I kid you not. Like, if we don't take home just a van full of food, mm-hmm. and sometimes even if we do, our parents will show up and like leave stuff on our doorstep.
Yep,
that is not an exaggeration. Like, it would be abandoned like an unwanted child for us to take care of.
No, I had for dinner tonight. I had some nacho cheese dip, queso dip stuff that my mom left literally during Duckstream, came by and left it on my doorstep.
To be fair, be very careful. If someone leaves a baby on your doorstep, do not eat it.
True.
True. Also, don't touch it or else the mom won't take it back. Okay. I didn't know.
You might be dealing with the Hercules situation. You want to get in on that real quick. Yeah. Sports scholarship. Your life is set.
True. True. I want to teach. Want to teach them some magic. Get ahead of this thing. I didn't know if you had any patented strategies, having I think more experience with family dinners than I have.
No, yeah. My strategy is to get fat eating all the stuff that they force on me and be happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, and I've got nothing, honestly. Just it's just been preparing for Duckstream, going in, pulling as many snippets for the soundboard as I can.
that was amazing. Kudos on that work.
Yep.
Not gonna lie, I'm still deeply confused by that soundboard.
I think you should leave seasons one and two and it'll make a lot more sense.
Yes, it is. It was a lot of that. It was a lot of The Simpsons. I mean, there was more substantial stuff too, getting those mods to run, all that kind of stuff. But now I'm kind of edging into talking about Duckstream stuff. So I think we should get into it. We should have the unusual kind of show, what with recounting Duckstream and then doing the title of the year and then going to bed. So all of us can live our lives. I think we should get started with
the grind,
the Duckstream recap. Fuck. Now I'm going to have to go in and like re-record that voice with those same filters. So it sounds like it's me talking through an Atari. Man.
Can you just imitate it now?
The Duckstream recap. I don't know.
Close enough for government work.
Yeah, well, close enough for government jazz, as they say. Thank you, guys. And by extension,
does anyone say that?
No, nobody says that. It's either close enough for jazz or close enough for government work. Thank you, and thanks to Jala for coming on and doing more Duckstream or more multiplayer stuff any multiplayer stuff this time. It really makes the time go faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, how do you do? Well, I guess from our perspective, you were starting at 6 in the morning. From my perspective, sorry.
So oh, yes.
It felt like a long haul both days, but you did good.
For me, like I've definitely got an easier putt than than the Portland folks do, because they've got a stream when they should be sleeping. Like for me, you know, being on from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. is that's a long time. But I felt fine. You know, I definitely should have taken more breaks. A thing that, you know, I don't know if universally is true, but sitting still or staying still for a long time really irritates me, you know, just ends up getting sore, getting restless, all that. I'm a pacer. Normally I'm not planted in one place, that much. So that's been a big part of kind of recovering, was like the day after I didn't want to just like lay in bed or veg out, because the last thing I wanted to do was not
be stationary.
Yeah. So I had to tire myself out otherwise so I could actually like sleep and all of that.
You had a you did a great job of having like a BRB screen of like the Let's Play that you had.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
So what I did, for anybody who didn't watch, there is an old Laserdisc game that was made for arcades and then was presumed to be lost. It is called The Spectre Files, colon Deathstalker. About like a hard-boiled detective. It's like a comedy horror game about a hard-boiled detective who goes looking for a missing dame, trying to get the reward money to pay off the mobster who's coming after him, Vasilini. And he goes into that's his name, Vasilini. But he tracks her down to a big spooky mansion full of a bunch of creeps and weirdos, and it is some of the most community theater, just like shitty acting and set design and prop design, terrible writing, so many puns. It is charming and I love it. So what I did was I played this. I did like a separate Let's Play where I was, you know, making choices during this full motion video game and just kind of like laughing at it and reacting to all this stuff. I recorded that. And then anytime I needed to put up a standby, like to go pee or make a, you know, make lunch or something like that, I switched over to a scene that said, "Hey, please stand by." And also, here is just a random portion of this of this shitty arcade FMV game, just out of context. So people would have something to watch that wasn't just a crawl of, "Hey, please donate." You know,
mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's talk about the stuff that we played. Hey, Ben, that Friday the 13th game is pretty cool.
Dude, I know. I was so happy we got a chance to play it. It's a game that I'm very fond of, but it's very few and far in between that I get a chance to play that game with people I know.
Yeah, I mean, it requires a lot of people, or at least four, right?
Yeah, bare minimum, yeah.
Yeah.
The lobby size is typically like 8, I think, so it's usually 7-on-1.
And that's why it made sense to go down to the small versions of the maps, I mm-hmm. think, mm-hmm. especially when you're carrying that, when you're carrying the gas jug, trying to cross the map to get to one of the escape cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a long haul.
Yeah. Yeah. I only got to be Freddy once. Not Freddy. That's a different, it'd be cool if you could be Freddy. Oh God. No, I only got to
Wait, do you mean the robot?
No,
no.
That's some bonus DLC where Tommy Jarvis gets caught in a furnace and then it's Freddy versus Jason.
Tommy Jarvis. Oh God, Tommy Jarvis, so ineffectual.
He's got that one shot, you know, and then he's tapping out after that.
Yes, yeah. I only got to be Jason once, and a thing that I really appreciate, I said this on the stream, but I think it's worth repeating, is that, like, I love that this crew, Angela as well, we are all, I think, none of us are so invested in winning that we will give up an opportunity to do a good show. Mm-hmm. Or like for everybody to have fun. So Ben, when you said like, "Hey, if you're Jason, you know, kind of stand back for a minute," I think everybody who did play Jason did that kind of to get some more dramatic sequences. Mm-hmm. And when I was when the tables were turned and I was Jason, and I, because this is kind of a janky game, got stuck on a tree. You guys just kind of like stood around me and finally was it you, Dennis, or was it you, Ben, who said, "Hey, can you use your map power to warp?"
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah,
which is when
yeah.
I learned that there was a map power.
Yes. But it was fun. My round as Jason was the only time when the counselors won. So there we go.
I mean, there's like a percentage victory on that. There, I mean, people still died.
True. Yes, people did. There was a toll. No, I think it was only Tommy Jarvis who made it out.
That's right. Yeah, because he got called in, saw everyone mm-hmm. was dead, escaped. Mm-hmm. My work here is done.
Later.
I did it, but you didn't do anything. Away.
Did you have any thoughts on the Friday the 13th, Dennis?
Oh yeah, I loved it. I think the shit talking each other was the most fun part. Mm-hmm. Just the protection racket style, yes. Negotiations with Jason.
Who was it that was trying to shake me down for information on where the others were?
Oh, that was me. Totally Ben.
Yeah.
It's like, tell me where all the, tell me where all the other campers are and you can leave.
Add a dash of spice to the mix there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. No, that was, that was fun. You know, I barely knew what any of the powers Jason did was. What was it like going up against new people, Ben?
Jala was like a very effective Jason.
She was so effective.
I thought I would have like a little bit of an edge at the beginning because like mm-hmm. since I knew the controls and everything, but that did not happen with the first game at all. but I did like the pattern that like game over game, the counselors became a little bit more competent each time and mm-hmm. kind of got the ropes under them. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. My big thing with the counselor was I kept on forgetting that you can't kill Jason, or under 99.5% of the circumstances you can't kill Jason. So yeah. I'd knock him down, and then I would just keep going. It's like, no, you gotta beat feet, man.
Yeah, his stamina does go down over time, so he's like easier and easier to knock down if he keeps getting knocked down. But that's typically more applicable if you have like eight people and like it's a longer game. So
yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. One
thing that was missing is one of the ways, there's two different ways you can get out that we didn't try. There's some of the levels have a boat. So you have to add a fan and gasoline, I think, to it. And you can try and escape on the boat. However, Jason like fast travels in water, essentially. Like he can move really, really quickly. So we can very easily catch up to the boat and like tip him out. Nice. And then the other way is you can repair, if you find it's like a switch or something like that, you can fix this power box and you can call the police. Oh. And they come after like maybe 5 minutes time and you can just run out. You don't need like a car to drive out. We didn't get to do those, which was a little bit unfortunate, but next time for sure.
See, I thought water was supposed to be Jason's weakness.
I don't know.
I mean,
could be like a Bane thing. He died in water. He's born in water. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was like because he died in water, he that was his weakness.
Hey, do you see? He swims. He reaches out of out of the Crystal Lake to yank people off of the boats.
Yeah, he decidedly kills someone with a harpoon gun in the one I've seen.
Yes,
which begs the question: like, what camp for funsies has a harpoon gun lying around?
You know, target practice.
Camp Crystal Lake, apparently.
It's kind of like the Christmas gift that I got my brother. So we go clay pigeon shooting sometimes, and we've got just sit this shitty spring loaded thrower that's really kind of a pain to load. So I got like a handheld one that you aim like a big gun. It's almost like a crossbow for the clay pigeons.
Nice.
And so I'm looking forward to say, hey, we can set up the old one, and then we can try and hit pigeons from that one with pigeons with this one.
That's great.
Two pigeons, one throw.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, gosh. But yeah, Friday the 13th, very good.
Yeah.
Man, I wish that I got my hands around the Steam multiplayer, like the remote multiplayer together play thing. Dennis, you were there for this, so you know what a hassle it was with me handing mouse control to everybody for what is it?
Golf with friends.
Yeah, golf with your friends.
Yeah. Laborious is the word that comes to mind.
Yes.
Although slowed down the pace of the game for sure.
It did. Although that is a fun game, and it was really funny when we got to the haunted house with the tables.
Yeah. Just Dennis aced it in the first shot.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was an easy part of the course.
Turns out with that remote play together, only one person can use the mouse and keyboard. Everybody else needs a controller. So yeah. if we ever try that again, that is what is necessary. Any thoughts on golf with your friends? I like it, you know, even with that friction, because funny stuff happens and it's real fun to trash talk over mini golf.
Yeah, I guess the thing it adds is everybody focuses on your shot so they can commentate on it for better or worse. But
I was surprised by how much power you put behind your strokes. Like,
mm-hmm.
Ain't no putt-putt course should need that kind of swear.
Oh, no.
At a certain point, it stops being a putt-putt course, and it's just a golf course.
Oh, the other one we played on Friday night was Vermintide 2, right?
Yep. Oh, yes. How is that?
Two matches.
Overwhelming.
See, that is the one game that I've apparently been able to become just like preternaturally good at.
I played as your character. I played as the witch hunter guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the nuts and bolts of it, you know, clicking on rats is fun. But it was disorienting to figure out what I should be doing at any given moment, what I should be going for. The chat, God love them. These are all people who participated and made the event what it was. Also, just completely overstimulating me just by posting random Warhammer lore.
Oh, yep. Yep.
That rat you just killed is actually the third son of the king.
That's more than most games is one that there's definitely a very weird curve to, because there's learning, it's very much one that trades heavily upon it will punish you for stalling, so you have to keep moving, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be too aggressive, because they'll punish you for that too.
You know, fly casual.
Right. Yeah. And like even the lore can have a impact on gameplay, because like the dwarf, half his call outs for enemies are in Dwarvish. So if you don't know what the words mean, then his warnings don't help you very much.
And people were talking about like, oh, this character's great because he's X, Y, or Z. It's like, well, what's the gameplay implication? Oh, it's just a thing that he says. It's like I and everybody knew what they were doing except me.
did you get your quota of Lumbarfoots?
What the fuck are you talking about?
way, Lumbarfoots.
The elf with her whatever the hell accent that is, just like every other line. Come on, Lumbarfoots.
Oh, Lumbarfoots. Okay. Uh-huh. the button I kept pressing expresses it best. I don't know what any of this shit does, and I'm fucking scared.
Man, wait till you try Dark Tide.
I was following everybody, and I was clicking on rats. How was that for like I couldn't tell if you guys were having fun.
I mean, I was having a blast straight through.
You were waiting for, that's someone you were waiting in the queue for, right?
Just chilling with Chad at that point.
Yeah.
Oh geez,
forget about that. I did look back at your message in the backstage where it's like, hey guys, you should try out this thing or whatever before. It's like, ooh, that didn't age well. I thought the music was really good in the game.
Had you played, you'd played it before, right?
I played it a couple times before, but not very much. Yeah. The game's fine. Like functionally, it's pretty similar to Left 4 Dead, except it's daylight instead of nighttime and melee instead of guns. But
yeah,
I mean, sometimes it's night.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys ever get to, did you do any of this stuff in the, like, Dracula's castle thing?
No. We did, like, literally, like, the first two levels, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, eventually there's like, a level that's in a vampire's castle where it's just supernaturally dark, so you have to, carry around a lantern, and then when enemies come, chuck out on the ground and fight, and then pick it up again, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one that's like Left 4 Dead that I had more fun with because it was less overstimulating was the next day we did Deep Rock Galactic. I never played that before.
Yes.
And it was neat to play it after hearing you all talk about it as much as you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was neat. Like I was real happy that like everybody got to take turns with different classes and stuff, mm-hmm. or whatever like the loadouts and stuff are. Mm-hmm. And the flow of that game is real cool. I love that escape at the end of a round,
Yeah. It's good tension.
Yeah.
I like that we cracked the meta with the all scout run.
Yes. Followed by the all engineer run. that tension is heightened by the fact that, you know, so the button to like trigger the escape is on the mule, which is the thing that you're kind of using to deposit resources the entire time. And it is so easy when you have finished the main objective but are still working on other stuff to walk up to deposit and accidentally call the drop pod.
Yeah.
Like probably one out of every five missions or so, like that happens. And then it's just this like, oh fuck, scramble to like get as much as you can done while still getting where you need to be and not, you know, taken away. Who did it? The blame game starts and it's a good time.
It is very saddening to see the mule like climb up a wall to get back to the dropship, and you're like, well, I can't do that. So.
Well, you guys, and Cole, you will be able to fully appreciate this now. I was playing with a buddy yesterday as the driller, and there was some point where he had run ahead and I had stayed behind to work on something, and the cavern he was in was just straight down from us.
Oh no.
And so I just dug straight down. I didn't think anything of it at the time.
You never drill down. You never mine down.
Because when we called the escape pod, the mule just went straight up that shaft.
So did you just drill yourself a spiral staircase up around your initial shaft?
That would have been smart. No, we went back the long way. But then I drilled a conciliatory hole for like the last little bit just so I could have one.
Yeah. That's what I think of the classes. The driller was my favorite, actually.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The driller's a lot of fun in terms of being able to just selectively trivialize certain things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that flamethrower is so great too, because so many of the encounters are big swarms of stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and especially when you're playing on higher hazard levels. Which we were.
Now look.
Dennis coming in. Was the all scout haunted cave at Hazard 3 your first one? you just chastising us.
There's also the
again,
one where
because a driller would have been really helpful, as we were just discussing.
It really would have, yeah.
I don't know, actually.
We survived that one, and that was fun. That was a memory. the driller, the next gun he unlocks is the cryo cannon, which is like the flamethrower, except it freezes enemies solid instead of burning them to death. So it does less damage initially, but then you can get a perk for it that frozen enemies sometimes just shatter.
Oh.
Which if you keep on freezing them, like if you keep on running it on them after they're already frozen,
it
recreates that chance to, to shatter. And so that becomes really, really powerful.
Hmm.
So I think the thing with the scout is it's very much like Dark Souls, in that the entire secret of it is realizing how many fights you don't have to have.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, the grappling hook is fun. Once I got used to that, but there were a lot of times where I got cocky with you won't take fall damage if you just grapple straight into the ground. There's a cooldown on the grappling hook. And if you
It's always about 3 seconds longer than you need it to be.
Yes. So if you get your if your plummet was started by a bad grapple, you will not be around to fix it with a good grapple.
Yep.
Oh God. Yeah. No, I just deep recollect it. That's good. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Also good music in that game.
I was really catchy stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was not expecting that.
And diverse genres.
Mm-hmm.
Did
anything happen during that I forgot to mention?
There's the mission where we just got ambushed right at the start.
Yeah, that was strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, that literally, I've never seen that before.
Maybe I know the maps will have like mods on them and stuff, so maybe there's like a mod of just like instant attack or something.
Was that the pipeline building one?
No, I think it's before that one.
The pipeline building one was fun, although I wish that map wasn't so pocked with danger holes. You know, damage lava.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So each of the regions has a different thing. So, like, that one, it's, you know, basically explosives and then, you know, lava things. There's one where there's randomly sandstorms that just block out all vision.
Mm.
I want to say there's one where there's straight up earthquakes and like massive cracks and crevices will open up in the ground.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Note, those crevices are fiery. And so you fall into one and you burn until you can find your way out.
Oh, yeah.
A new one they added is there's like meteor strikes, which is kind of weird when you're underground, but
shrug. I mean, you are underground in space, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, like the meteor doesn't hit. What is the meteor? Like it just causes like cave-ins, right? Like like the rocks fall from above kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's very tangentially a plot line.
No tangents.
In that, like, one of the seasons was like, oh, we found out that there might be, a rival company coming. Then the next one was like, hey, we're seeing some weird stuff. Maybe it's them. Then the third one is like, all right, they're here. We're going to jack them up, that sort of thing. So, like, a lot of those weird side events have been added over the course of the seasons.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess this most recent patch is like, oh, there's a virus now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, which I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, no.
Did any of you get it, like, actually get infected with it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so it's a meter. It's a meter that builds up and builds up the longer you're exposed to the virus, which happens when you are either like in a cloud of the spores, or if you're carrying one of the like fragments of they call it the lithophage. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And if it reaches the top, you suddenly like freeze and have like these vine type of things like crawl all over you, and you have to break free, similar to getting frozen.
Hmm.
Okay.
Huh. Hmm. Yeah. And then the final one that we played, I really enjoyed because we were all starting on the same kind of foot with it. Deceit. I had never heard of this game before. It is a first person horror themed Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it's up to six people in an area. You've all been knocked out and kidnapped by a jigsaw like figure. One of you has been infected with a virus that makes you hunger for human blood and fresh flesh. There we go. you're going around doing little objectives to get equipment. And then when the timer counts down, everything goes dark, and then the infected can transform into a monster and go hunting people. And then when the lights come back on, anybody who's still alive, you kind of have to figure out who's going to be the monster, or who the monster was, while also trying to escape this escape to the next section of the map, because the old one has been flooded with gas. I like this and would like to play more of it.
Yeah. I thought it was good. It did bother me, like, why don't the survivors just be like, dude, you can have blood. Like, we don't lose if you escape. Like, let's just go.
I think the designs are greater. Also, I think if the, I don't know the plot, but I imagine if the monster is left alive at the end, everybody dies. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I also, you just describing it, Cole, as the old area is filled with gas, made me realize, how does the level in the forest work? Like you can't very well fill an open air courtyard area with gas, can you?
I don't know.
I mean, damn, America is slow. America is slowly filling the entire atmosphere with the pollution. So
yeah, this is an allegory. Yeah. but yeah, this was good. The only bummer was I never got to be the infected.
I got to be the infected so many times.
You were the infected twice. First
two times.
Right? No, yeah. Three times. Three out of five times I was the infected. Okay.
You were infected the first two times in a row, and that made it difficult the second time. Like, oh, obviously they wouldn't make Dennis, even though the odds are super good that they would do it.
Yeah, the gambler's fallacy.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But was it you, Dennis? So one of the things you can get between, I think, the first map and the second is a little scanner that will automatically tell you if somebody is infected or not.
Yeah, I could never find the scanner when I was infected. And that's all I wanted to do was to get it so I could, you know, have that power away from
others. You just destroyed it one time, though, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the last game you were infected, you're like, oh, yeah, this got destroyed like 30 seconds ago.
Yeah, so that is... I thought that was a station, though. Isn't the scanner something you can carry in your inventory?
So the station, it's really funny that you never got to play the uninfected, really. So this didn't happen for you. The station. So to get this, one person has to stand on a pressure plate while the other reaches in and grabs the portable scanner as a box lifts off of it.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I see.
So you kind of have to trust that they're not going to, like, you know, ice you while that is happening, if they suspect it.
I like that elevation of it goes from like single person tasks to these like cooperative tasks in the last like area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So you trying to get that probably get that by yourself probably means that you destroyed it.
Got it. I see.
Trying to interact with it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the main thing that I really like about this game is that there is, well, two things, I guess. One, if you are the infected, you are not just faking helping, like you get benefit from helping.
Yeah.
And so it just makes it that much easier to hide. And then the other thing is there is a lot of gameplay after you're discovered.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like once you're marked in Among Us or whatever else, you know, there's nothing you can do outside of, you know, kind of argue your case. In Deceit, you have the option to be like, yeah, it's me. What you going to do about it? And then go around and kill everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta make sure you can back that up with bullets, but yeah.
Well, the what do they call it? Your special move, your assassinations where they don't come back.
Oh, just the execution, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The shotgun is a little overpowered.
Well, you know.
That's the other thing. I was never able to get to the shotgun first as the infected. Last time playing, I was so close. Like, someone had opened up the box, but was like, I already have a shotgun. And then me and another player were walking up to it, and they got to it like seconds
before. Oh, no. What happened is the last match, I got wise, and on every single level, I immediately got the shotgun.
Yeah.
I literally had like the shotgun with like 12 rounds of ammunition or something.
Boy. I wonder, I didn't play enough to understand if the items in a level are randomized or if they're in the same place every time.
You know, I don't check on the map.
Yeah, no clue. Yeah. You'd have to play the same map twice play the same map twice and remember what was where to see if it happens. I've got no clue. The shotgun is powerful, but I had really good luck with the body armor. Like that body armor let me survive attacks from the
that's true.
One of you was very confused when I came back.
I was
well, that's the funny thing is in a game with all these conventions to explain, like, oh yeah, there's a guy that's got a saw puzzle thing going on and yada yada yada, if the infected kills an innocent without enough blood, they die and then respawn. It's like you couldn't just like freeze them in place for a while or, you know, so there's something more diegetic than just like literally the respawner is turned off after a certain time.
Which is not intuitive at all either. So I think the people who were the infected the first few times kind of tripped up on that.
Well, I being the infected the first time, I was like, gotcha, dead to rights. And then nothing happened. Uh-huh. And my brain justified it as like, oh, you know, we're a group of four. And this did say it plays with six. Maybe there are like some bosses. And that's why no one's screaming about being killed right now.
Oh, okay.
I think one of my weird takeaways from this is just with the overall aesthetic, you know, kind of the stuff outside the actual game with like, did any of you do the, any of the unlocks?
No, I didn't give the coin to the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's literally just, there's a sort of the ticket counter for like a theater and just this arm sticking out and you give it the coin and it basically does the like,
cup game.
Cup and balls. Yeah.
Yeah. The shell game.
Right. Mm-hmm. And similarly, your host is kind of this weird, like,
it's a rabbit guy.
Rabbit with a gas mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff. There's just a bunch of weird stuff, and this makes me realize how much I would love to play, I don't know, just some sort of kind of surrealistic, not so much like a, the Quarry style, like, you know, serial murderer, that sort of game, but, you know, something that is a little bit more on the mystery side of things.
Mm-hmm. Like as a multiplayer deduction game or just in general?
Oh, I mean, no, as like a story-based, like, mindfuck game.
I mean, you're getting pretty close to describing the Zero Escape games, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My favorite moment in Deceit was, who was it that I got the scanner and I was like, I'm pretty sure they're the monster. And before I could scan, you just fucking murked me.
That was me. Yeah. Shotgun went loud after that.
Yeah, that was the one where, that was the one immediately before me being like, all right, I'm getting every shotgun.
Never not shotgun. No, because I was covering you while you were scanning Ben, but I only had a little pistol. Uh-huh. And so the second Ben pulled the trigger, I started blasting. But he was still able to like turn around.
So
and
I
get
start blasting.
Yeah. and so yeah, the shotgun, I but do feel like
it's awkward because you down them but it's still daylight and it's like, well, we're now just standing here awkwardly, you can't like execute them or anything, so
yeah. Well, I was just waiting, like, how does Ben talk his way out of this one?
you just kill everyone.
Yeah,
just...
the answer is Ben plays a lot more first person shooters than the rest of us.
Yep.
I talk my way out of it by starting to break the electricity so it goes dark.
that was a real fun one.
Yeah, the one I did like is, I think the next to last one, you guys started being suspicious of me because I was like finding all of the blood packs.
Uh-huh.
And what I was doing is I had just unlocked an item that lets you put a tracker on the blood pack, but I couldn't explain myself because I wanted the monster to not know and use the blood pack so that I could track them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had to be, yeah, I had to, you know, mollify your suspicion without actually being able to explain what I was doing.
So that's what cleared you in my eyes, because I saw you do that and you did not see that I was there. So if you were the monster, you would have just taken the blood pack.
Yeah. Right. who was it that I just decided that I decided to kill before I did this a couple times, because to get out of to end the round, everybody needs to, not everybody, it's like a majority needs to vote to leave the stage by turning like a crank on the escape hatch kind of deal. And I was like, wait in there. I was like, okay, I'm just going to prosecute this and we're going to see how this goes. I think that, was it you, Dennis, that I just straight killed at the end?
No, because I was the infected. This was the second game. I was the infected. You guys killed me like very early on, but weren't like completely confident that it was me.
Yeah, because it doesn't tell you when you've killed the infected. Like, you still continue. So it must have been Ben that I killed, right?
I'm not sure.
Somebody opened up, and killed. Because I wasn't paying that much attention. I think I was talking with Chad or something. And then all of a sudden, like, blam, 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 blam. And I'm like, oh, that worked out. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, I really wanted to see someone do just the paranoia meta. Just let the... let the non-infected human kill each other.
Yeah, I was going for that on my last one, but I got greedy.
Yeah. this game, because I think I said the name of the game once, it's called Deceit. It was released in like 2017, and I never heard a thing about it until I was looking at multiplayer horror games.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that it hasn't been more successful, I guess, or maybe it's super successful and just I haven't heard of it. Yeah. But like, I can understand, like, I'm glad that Among Us, you know, has been super successful, because, you know, it kind of popularized this, and, you know, that sort of thing. But I feel like of the kind of like copies or, you know what I mean, inspired that I've seen, this is by far the most original and, you know, well thought out and unique.
Yeah.
Yeah. A quick plug for my students. There's a team at Miami University that created a game that has a very similar vibe called It's Dark.
Okay.
And it's more like more of a top down thing than a first person thing, but it is a multiplayer horror game. And when it gets dark out, or when it gets dark in the complex that you're in, you know, sharing with one person that's the monster, you know, you can only see the sound of footsteps.
Okay.
And so you can see when someone's moving, but you're not sure who it is moving.
Oh.
And that creates all the intrigue. So I'll put a link to that, but it is a cool game that you should check out. It's Dark.
There's a board game I really want to play sometime. I forget what it's called. I'd have to look it up on Board Game Geek, but it's designed to be playing, you know, everyone except the game master / you know, the monster or whatever is blindfolded.
Okay.
So you're playing the board game entirely by feel.
Huh.
And, you know, it's like you're encouraged to, like, you know, when you don't, you know, say, you know, I don't know, someone gets their spot roll or something, and so knows something everyone else does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't, you know, do the D&D thing, you know, take them into a room or, you know, write them a note. You're encouraged to, like, go over and whisper in their ear and stuff like that. Just, you know, just mess with people, basically.
Huh. Yeah. No, I just, the next time we play, if we play this, I think that not doing Discord might be best, because it automatically, the in-game voice chat automatically turns off and on. Depending, so it's not just everybody kind of talking to each other. That sounds really good for just paranoia and stuff. Like, it basically turns it all into proximity chat kind of stuff.
The game I'm thinking of is, appropriately enough, Nyctophobia.
Gotcha. Fear of the Dark.
That's also something we could do in Friday the 13th, because the chat works when you pick up a radio, like, in game, which is fun.
Is it only between characters who have picked up a radio?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Didn't Phasmophobia sort of had a thing like that where it, you know, you kind of need to use the in-game chat for it to, you know, do some of its stuff.
To talk to the ghost, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. I don't know. I thought that game was neat, and it was weird that I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very solid. And, you know, like we said, there was some jankiness with just the, like, respawning and stuff, but, like, overall, really high production value.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Cool. Other than being like, oh, that's not diegetic, no part of the design, like, got in the way of our fun.
Monster design was pretty good. Like, the kind of monster you are is different. Like one time somebody was a Yeti, the other times it was, like, blood monster kind of stuff.
Yeah, you could pick skins that you could also unlock.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like the transformation into it is really cool, where kind of, like, all your joints start dislocating and stuff. Yeah,
you get bone-itis.
your hands start looking like AI hands.
Your only regret is that I have bone-itis.
Now I need to run. Yeah.
So since the humans won in this game the majority of the time, and Jason won the majority of the time Friday the 13th, we need to do a crossover game
who wins, the infected or the
I feel like that's Before Dawn must have done it. It's done every other crossover.
Or what is it? Not Until Dawn.
Until Dawn?
Dead what is by it? Dawn? Dead by Daylight.
There we Daylight.
Go. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Any other thoughts about Duckstream or the events or stuff? Like, you know, did anybody get a chance to see any of the randomizers that I did?
Yeah.
And that is the, I'm not joking, that is the only Elden Ring that I've ever watched.
That's pretty indicative of the experience.
That's a good call.
Well, that was my observation, was that as someone who's familiar with Soulsborne games, but not with Elden Ring, none of the enemies felt feasibly out of place. Like, oh, you know, giant club guy on the beach? Yeah. Little statue guy on the beach? Yeah. Next to basilisk on the beach? Sure. You know, yeah. It's just like that, you know, they, you know, these rascals show up everywhere.
Yeah. The part where you ran into the creatures fighting one another was so interesting.
Yeah, it was a portion of the map where normally it's humans fighting against demi-humans. It's in southern Liurnia, kind of off the coast of Lake Aegil. But because of the random swap, they swapped in different monsters, but it didn't swap their allegiances or the fact that they were fighting. Mm-hmm. So I rolled up and just here is a gigantic golem fighting a frost lobster and a crab and rune bear.
Next year you can just play that, go to that area and just have people make bets, you know?
So here's the thing. There are whole YouTube channels that do that. That will just like, okay, who would win this boss versus 20 of this mid boss? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean you made the joke about this in the chat, but it's basically people do totally accurate battle simulator but with different souls and Elden Ring stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they've also been able to do like Bloodborne bosses versus Dark Souls bosses in the past. I think I've seen it's real cool, but like I rolled up on that. I wish that I realized that different enemies have different ranges at which their health activates and they can start dying, and so we did the lobster dirty because his range was longer than everybody else's.
He got murked first. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. Any revenge I can get on the crabs in that game because they are dicks.
Yes. Historically in the series, crabs have been fucking awful.
I think the other part that made me laugh out loud was when you go to the first boss area, the bridge, and then you just roll up on the giant fire giant. And it's like, trying to roll around on the bridge. It's like,
I was with you, Ben. I was totally convinced that he was going to roll off the side.
Yeah, for sure.
But he didn't. So
can bosses spawn as regular enemies?
I don't know. That may have been an option that I turned off. The thing about this randomizer mod, which I can recommend, like it works. I've done a bunch of like Dark Souls randomizer stuff in the past. This works as well as that, and it has as many options as that. You can influence a bunch of stuff just by messing with the program that rolls up the seed for it. So possibly, I don't know if I had that turned off or on. I don't know what I would do if I just emerged from the tomb at the beginning and then here comes Millennia, but
yeah. So, and then also when you're going to the very southern part of the map, there's like the boss fight on the tiny island and you see Rickard down there from like a mile away.
Yep. Just in his god devouring serpent form, just kind of sitting there. Oh, that's cool. So Dennis, for your perspective, Rykard is kind of like the Storm King fight or the where you need you don't need people to beat him without it, I think. But there is a special sword that you get in the arena that will do like a big spectacular attack. But, you know, so it's like a set piece fight. I was worried that because I was encountering him in an arena that was not his own, that they wouldn't give me that. And I'd have to figure out a way to beat him at like level, you know, 15 with not that weapon. No, they give you that weapon when you go into that arena. So that was neat. The maker of that mod did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah. Any final thoughts about Buckstream?
It was crazy successful this year. It was awesome.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Broke 20K, which is wild.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is that the highest that it's been ever?
Just about. We had a massive donor last year who got an employer match. So that went because of that last match, it went over 30.
Oh, God.
I know, right? barring that particular circumstance, I believe this was the best year we've had. So
it's crazy.
Thank you to anyone listening who gave. Anyone listening who came and hung out or told people about it. Like, this community is awesome.
Yeah, love it. Yeah, it's hard to think of a bunch more words than thank you. It means a lot. Yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds like a segment to me.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for us to cap off the year with something very self-indulgent. It's time for the title of the year, something we've done at the end of every year since, going down the line here, 2014. So neat.
Wow.
I know, right? We have titles every episode, and we have alternate titles, ones that do not make it for one reason or another. At the end of the year, we vote. We put it to the crew to pick the favorites. And I think we got a pretty good crop this year. Do we want to do the A Toadies first, or do we want to do Toadies?
That's a good question. I feel like starting with Toadies is right. I think that's how we've done it in the past.
Yeah. Okay. So we can go ahead and get rolling. I'll do number five here. Just follow my highlights on the Excel sheet, everybody. Number five is A Machine for Geese.
if only we could be so lucky.
I can't remember what the context of that was. All I remember was thinking, we've had to have done that one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's true for a lot of these titles. It's like, what were we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, what is number four?
Number four is Cheese is Not a Vegetable, which was a response to my diet.
Titles can also be lies. Dennis, number three.
Number three is I Little Brother Myself.
Yep. Oh, talking about doing what was that, second player? Having somebody else play and you watch.
Yes.
Yes. I think that was the context. Am I right?
It was something along those lines. Yeah, watching my kids play and going back to that place.
Ben, number two.
Number two is Who Yassified Yertle?
Gotta love the alliteration.
That was a very good title. that was a jolly line. I loved it. Let me see here. Wait a minute. Oh, this will be me. I thought it was going to be, number one is Woke But Horny.
And I resemble that remark.
Oh my gosh.
Aren't we all?
Are there any kind of dark horses that you wish would have gotten more? Just ones that you want to recognize?
I think my first place vote was self-indulgent, but it went to Conjugate just because I really like that one.
Oh, yeah, yes, I think that was nice. A very clever one.
Yes.
The one I am proud of that was something I actually said is The Only Way to Play is Not to Win.
That was excellent.
That was in reference to what, there's some game where, like, once you win, you can't play the game again or something?
Maybe.
There's one game by the guy who did Inscription like that, where it's like you have a buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I think that's what that was in reference to.
Yeah. Let's see here. I like Spaghetti Belts. just because of the imagery on that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get a single vote, but we're okay.
The imagery and the utility.
Yes.
It won the game award is just, I don't know if it's a great title, but it's just a very much, yeah, that's a mood.
I didn't realize until last week that that could possibly be interpreted as an Italian joke. it won the game award.
No.
Not the intention. It was literally just to play with the language. Did you have a dark horse one you wanted, Dennis?
I am a big fan of Morbography.
So what was this? Is
the
this
most internet thing imaginable?
There was a biography of Morbo.
There was somebody that it was like Twitch streamers or something. Somebody was doing Splatoon, but they set their team's color to be a chroma key in OBS, and over that chroma key, they were playing pornography. And I think it was Ben who said they should have just played the entirety of Morbius and they would have been safe.
And then, I mean, there's already the people that just set the ink color to white.
Yep. Sickos. Sickos, wall, sickos, all of them.
Well-hydrated sickos.
Dennis, did you have a dark horse?
No, the Morbography was mine.
Morbography, there we go. Cool. Where are the toadies at? Where are my toadies at?
Eight toadies,
yes.
One tab over
so to
there
the left.
There were nine total that stood out from the crowd. There was a wide, wide list of titles, yes, that got votes. But there were only a few that reached the top echelons.
Yeah.
And usually it's like a six-way tie, and we talk about the top six. Uh-huh. So we're going to talk about the ties for first and second, because there was a relatively tight grouping here.
Yeah, no, this worked. So I'll start here. Let's work from the bottom again, follow my highlight.
And these are the second place titles in no particular order.
Yes, yeah. Needs more corpse paste. That was recent. That was recent, but I cannot remember what it was about.
I mean, partially it was complaining about corpse paste is one of the backgrounds for how your character got sent to jail in Darktide.
There we go. That's, yeah, I get it. Yeah. Makes sense. David, what's the next one here?
Nutmegging, which I'm pretty sure is some sort of Christmas-based pickup artist technique.
I have, it's no,
like Christmas-based teabagging.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I've got no idea on this one. I just remember people in high school, they heard that nutmeg in high enough doses gets you like as a hallucinogen, but also it makes you feel like you're going to die for 3 days.
So a hallucinogen.
I think technically it is also just in soccer, passing the leg between, or passing the ball between a defender's legs.
Okay, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm.
I like our versions better.
Yes. Ben, what's the next one here?
Cat dog, but in Dark Souls.
I think that was a reference to the true final boss in Demon Souls being a thing that effectively looks like a sad little mutant cat dog. Hmm. Yeah, that has to be it. Let's see here. Dennis, how about this one?
The next one is Jala-chan in place.
Just in place.
I think I can't remember why, but the singular was very important for that one.
Kind of like it won the game award.
Yeah.
We're just having fun with sounds. next one here is Bonkilla _ the sex number. Yeah. Probably joking about a screen name there.
I feel like that had to have come from you, Cole.
Yeah. David, it's appropriate you have this one. Well, how about the next one?
This is actually bobbing and weaving.
That has to have been talking about VR, actually.
Oh, probably.
Yeah,
because you're actually bobbing and weaving to like dodge bullets and stuff. Yeah, good core workout. End up kind of with a sore tummy there. Ben, how about the next one here?
Mother Nature has the ultimate kill streak.
I think this is the one I would want like on a shirt or something.
Oh my gosh. Dennis, moving on to the first place ones, two tied for first place.
Yeah, there's the twin first place selections. The first one we're going to mention being The Option to Hulk.
I liked that. Yeah, that was fun. You know, just talking about Jala, you know, getting too swole and reserving the option to Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The tied for first place, we have that being hunted by velociraptors feeling.
Clever girl.
Just picturing that as a meme, like just girly things, but
just what? Oh God, what was the name of that game?
Jurassic Park?
No, it's the dinosaur extraction shooter that I played for a hot second.
Turok?
I
know what it is. It's just more fun for me to say wrong things. Like Second what, Extinction.
Extinction. There we
second,
go.
Second, thank you. Oh God, I was gonna go slowly and
Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The Land Before Time. There it is.
Billy. Billy and the Clonosaurus.
Every so often, I think back to, is it the last boss of Dino Crisis that's just the T-Rex that can swim the speed of a speedboat?
Yeah, apparently, there's a very early Twitch clip of this, me losing my shit, because it moves apparently by locomotion of just rapidly spinning the very tip of its tail under the water like it's a motorboat itself.
They had different technology back then, you know?
Yes, yeah. Well, thank you for indulging us this, and best of luck to all of the contestants and all of their future endeavors. How do y'all feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button
the credit.
Thanks so much, everybody, for making this a great year on the level. Hopefully you've enjoyed this non-standard kind of episode. I've enjoyed making it. Thanks, Dennis, for tabulating all of the Toadie stuff.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks everybody who gave on Duckstream. Yeah, we already said it means an awful lot, and we're looking forward to next year. I would be lying if I said we were already planning for it. The last thing I want to do is thinking about doing another long streaming thing.
So I do have a incredibly dumb multiplayer I want to pitch.
Okay.
I want to do a Odie Odie. What is the greatest of the year of the year? Is it wine of the year? Movie of the year? You know.
Oh, okay. So it's one layer up. We're making lists of lists.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Odie Odie.
Should it just be a Gugoti?
It's like it's Gungrave Gugoti.
Recurse Odie? Something like that.
If you want to help out the show, you know what to do. Facebook, Patreon, telling your friends, all of those good things. Is there anything I'm forgetting big? Oh, congratulations, Dennis. Deck of Wonders is in people's hands.
Yeah, that is super fun. Yeah. So
you can all call off the collectors. No need to break his knees.
No, not yet, man. Anyway.
Nice. Cool. Well, I think that's going to be it. We'll be back in the new year. I hope everybody has good holidays, everybody here and everybody listening. Have fun. Take care of yourself and be safe, whatever you're planning to do. I have been Cole Ross. I stream on Twitch at DuckVTV.
I've been Dennis Furia, of Furia Games, makers of Deck of Wonders and many other fine products. Mm.
I've been, David Meismith. I survived another year.
Hey,
we still got 10 days left.
Let's not be hasty.
I've been Ben Merkel.
Yeah. And stick around for some titles, maybe. We could also just call this the year-end wrap-up.
I got one title. Oh, I got titles.
Okay, you got titles? Okay, all right. Mm-hmm.
I got ones I'm happy with, too.
Ooh, okay. Well, no, if you're happy, go.
All right, I've got three, the first one being No Tangents.
That's a lie.
The second one being Freddy Jarvis. Going back to Friday the 13th and all that fun.
Okay.
And then the final one, titles can also be lies, which I like. It might maybe a little too meta, but I do like.
That's a pretty good end year title. Yeah,
that's that is a strong contender. Yeah. What's yours, Ben?
Mine was No Tangents.
we
could combine them and just do No Tangents : titles can also be lies.
Our
first ever dual title.
That is perfect.
I think we've done a dual title before. Molyneux Klish and something else, I think. Okay. Was one of the best. Yeah.
Damn it, Molyneux.
No Tangents, titles can also be lies. There we go. We got it.
Excellent. Also, that sounds like the title of a Zero Time game.
The second one, the original Japanese version, instead of Virtue's Last Reward, in the original Japanese, it's Good People Die.
To the point.
Mean, you know, not wrong.
I only have one. It's Alabama Only Goes So Far.
That's good. Man, I had one, but I didn't think we were doing titles, so I didn't write it down. So, no. Oh well. I do like our selection, though.
Yes. No tangents. Titles can also be lies. It is decided.